to turn to Psalm 119. We definitely know where we're going tonight, okay? Psalm 119, we looked at verses 113 through 120 last week about rejecting or accepting God. And basically what we need to do is we need to reject what God rejects and respect what God respects. In verses 113 through 115, we see that the psalmist has found a refuge in God. He has a firm commitment in the Word in verse 113 because he's surrounded by half-hearted people. We can't have half-hearted people in the church, folks. We all need to be going the same way. When you're surrendered to the Word, you will find a refuge in God. In verse 114, he finds a hiding place that brings him help, that brings him hope, and that the faithless reject. And what he wants to reject those that aren't going the truth way. He says in verse 115, he says, "Depart from me, the evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." We know that evil communications corrupt good manners. We know that we're not supposed to keep company with people that aren't following God. And then also in purpose. Then in verses 116 to 117, we see reliance on God to sustain him through trials, to sustain him through time, and to support him in anything that he does. Verses 118 through 119, we see what happens when you reject God. Okay? The reasons people are living a lie. Folks, don't live a lie when it comes to salvation. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, get that right tonight. You may not get another chance. You may not get another opportunity to do this. There's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, and they're nowhere close. And they're on the wrong path. Because wide is the way to destruction. And then they're actually making a lie. We looked in Revelation chapter 21 that whoso maketh a lie is not going to be found in the kingdom. And then the result is in 119, it says, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies." And then the last thing is that he has reverence for the Word. He has respect for God's presence, regard for God's principles, which requires our return of God's love. So that's where we were last week. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 121 through 128, and we're going to talk about the Word delivery. All of Psalm 119 is about the ministry of the Word, what the Word does. And we need to understand that the truth of God's Word delivers those oppressed from those... The truth of God's Word delivers you from being oppressed from those that live a lie. Okay? Those who live a lie. The letter this stands up is aim. And it means eye or vision. You know, we as believers need to have a good vision of God. We need to have a good vision of what sin is and then avoid it. We need to have a good vision and a good reality of what man's nature is and that we're still not immune from that. We need to have a good vision of the depravity even in someone who's going to heaven, because we still have that sin nature. We need to have the clear vision of biblical worldview. We need to have a vision of heaven. And what's not preached in churches today, you need to have a vision of what hell's really like. And if we have a clear vision, then we will clearly go the way God wants us to. Especially if we are believers. So in verse 121 through 128, it says, "I have done judgment and justice." Lead me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. My eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. As we see here in this stanza, the psalmist has a clear vision. He knows what is right. He knows what is wrong. He knows who his friends is. He knows who the enemy is. And so he's asking for deliverance. The word of God delivers us from those that want to oppress us. And so deliverance is the major theme of this passage. So there's three main points. The first one is found in verses 121 through 123. His dire concern. I have 124 up there, but that's the next point. In 121, the first part of this verse, we see his perseverance. He said, I have done judgment and justice. See, we can't expect help from God unless we do what God says. Unless we have integrity. David oftentimes talks about his integrity. The integrity, when he's walking with God, he has integrity of heart. Our Bible tells that if we have confidence towards God, our heart doesn't condemn us. Okay? And so the issue is do we have integrity to actually be in right standing to ask God to help us in the first place? The psalmist does. The psalmist does. This word here, I've done judgment. This word for done is also found in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19, where basically Nehemiah asks for this. He says, think upon me, my God, for good. And look at the next phrase. According to all I have done for this people. See, we need to have a testimony. And God knows that. Remember with Job? He said, have you considered my servant, Job? And he had a testimony that he was upright and righteous. One who hates evil and follows good. He says, you can test him. And so the psalmist has said, look, I've done everything I can for you, God. I'm in right standing. You know tonight if you're in right standing with God or not. If you're in right standing, you know that God's going to bless you. You know that God's going to answer your prayers. If you're not in right standing, you need to repent. So you get in that right standing, so you have a relationship, that restored relationship with God. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13, it says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be what? Rewarded. You can't do your own thing and expect God to bless you. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And so what he says, my perseverance, you don't owe me, God, but I have a right standing with you, and I will expect you to work in my life. And that's the truth right there. If I have a right standing with God, I have to expect that God is going to do right in my life. That makes sense? So he says, I have done judgment and justice. So then he has perseverance. Then in verses 121 through 120, the rest of 121 through 122, he has a plea. The first one is, I need your presence. In verse 121, he says, lead me not to mine oppressors. Don't leave me out here hanging by myself. God will never let you hang by yourself unless you have something to learn. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your what? conversation, that your lifestyle be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There are conditions for God to work in your life. You need to be content with it. You need to do judgment and justice. You need to have integrity in your heart. Your heart doesn't condemn you at all. And so, I need your presence. Folks, we need thee every hour.
Amen.
Amen. So his plea here in the last part of 121 is, I need your presence. In the first part of 122, he says, I need your pledge. I need your pledge. He says, be surety for thy servant for good. So basically, the word for surety here means, give me a pledge. Give me a pledge for good. I need that confidence that I can go forward. Now, God already promises that. In Psalm 186, verse 17, it says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has what? Hoped me, or helped me, and comforted me. So he has a dire concern because of all this oppression that's going on around him. He says, I'm hanging in there. Don't leave me out to dry. 121. Then he goes on, he says here, he says, I need your pledge from you. I need to feel comfortable. Sometimes, have you ever felt that God's not there? We need to find out why. And that's where the integrity issue comes in. So his plea is, I need your presence, I need your pledge, and then the last part of 122, he says, I need your protection. Let not the proud oppress me. Let not the proud oppress me. I need your protection. Now, there's been several times that we've seen the proud coming against him. In verse 51, he says, I need your protection from their derision, for they're trying to trip me up. In verse 69, I need protection from their lies. In verse 78, we've seen that I need protection from their perverse dealings with me. In verse 85, he says, I need protection from their traps. They've laid traps in front of me. And so he says, look, he says, the proud, the arrogant, are running around to oppress me, because they want their way and not God's way. And so he has this dire concern. We see his perseverance, his standing with God. And folks, leave here tonight with right standing with God. And then we can all make the plea for his presence. We can all make the plea for his protection. We can all make the plea for his pledge. All those promises will apply to us. In verse 123, we see his plight. His plight. Now, have you ever been to the point where you've been hoping that something would happen, and then it doesn't happen, and you just give up hope? This is the dire nature of his concern. Because verse 123, it says, my eyes fail for their salvation. So he's examined himself. He says, I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm in right standing with God. I can't be forsaken by you, God. All these things are happening to me. I need you to show yourself strong. And so, his plight here, he doesn't see God. Now, that happens occasionally. What about Jeremiah in the pit? What about Joseph in the pit? What about Joseph in prison? What about Moses when he's on the mountain and everybody down there is doing the wrong thing? What about Daniel when he's thrown in the lion's den? We see in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a lot of people that were put in difficult situations, and they were doing the right thing. They weren't doing anything wrong on their own. They had integrity. Okay? And sometimes we're like the psalmist, and in verse 82, he already says, he says, "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" We need to understand his promise. That's what faith building is. Hope maketh not what? Ashamed. And so he's going to teach himself this. And sometimes when we start praying and we start reading God's word, we start being taught by it. And that's the whole issue here. In Psalm 69, verse 3, he says, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I what? Wait for my God." That doesn't mean God's not there. He means that there's something else to learn. Look at Job. Look at Job. We have 42 chapters of agony. And then in the end, he learns. And then in the end, he's delivered. Then in the end, he's restored. You may be going through a period where you don't think God hears you. But he does. If you're in right standing with him. You might be living in a period where you don't think he's going to help. But he will. He's promised that. His grace is sufficient. Be like Paul. "I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may what? Rest on me." So we see here that he has a dire concern in verses 121 through 123. In verses 124 through 126, he has a three-pronged cry to God. In verse 124, he says this, "Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes." What he wants is he wants God to deal with him the right way. He understands his position as a servant. And he says, as a servant of God, I've been doing the right thing. I've been doing the right thing. So what he's doing here in verse 124, he has a desperate cry to find the will of God. We used 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, Sunday. But in verses 14 through 15, we see this. "And this is the what? Confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to what? His will, he heareth us. And we, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, not will get, have the petitions that we desire them." The prayer is already answered. God is just waiting for the time to deliver it. And so basically what the psalmist's prayer is already answered here, and he's waiting for God to deal with him righteously. It says, "Deal with thy servant according to what? Thy mercy, thy will, thy truth, thy power, thy grace, thy word, and teach me what? Thy statute." If I have more to learn, bring it on. I need to learn more about this. So, how do you know about the will of God? By learning his word. So he says, "Look, I need you to deal with me righteously. Teach me your statutes and I'll figure it out. I'll understand." So he says he has a desperate cry for his will. In verse 125, he has a desperate cry for God's way. He says, "I am thy servant. Give me what? Understanding, that I may know thy testimonies." In both of these verses, what does he say? I'm your servant. I'm your kid. You've taken care of me. And so basically, he says, I'm thy servant. Give me what? Understanding. Sometimes God doesn't deliver us because we haven't learned the lesson. Sometimes we're not delivered because we haven't learned what God wants us to learn. And then when we get to that point of surrender, then we learn. In Psalm 127, verse 11, it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a what? Plain path." We talked about last week about, or 2 weeks ago, about the Word of God being a lamp to my feet for one more step. The issue is, we try to complicate things. God has a simple plan of salvation. God has a simple will for your life to be conformed to His image. God has all these things, and it's a plain path. It's something you can see. And sometimes His answer is deferred until we get to a point that we will see clearly. He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a what? Plain path." Because of what? Because of mine enemies. What's he talking about here? He's being oppressed. It's the same thing. In Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord," or the respect for God, or love of God, "is the beginning of wisdom." And then what's the next phrase? "A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Don't expect that you have an understanding from God when you refuse to do God's Word. Don't expect that you're going to have an understanding from God when you refuse to do God's will. Don't expect that you're going to have a good understanding of God if you refuse to go the way God's going. He says, "I have done judgment and justice." Don't leave me. Don't let me hang out here to dry. I need a pledge from you. I need to see you work in my life. Verse 126, he had a desperate cry for God's work. We have seen the psalmist in Psalm 119 basically at the end of his rope several times. And he's at it right now. He says, "I'm tired of this. It's time for the Lord to work. It's time. It is now the accepted time. It's now the day of salvation." It's the exact same concept here. Okay? Now this issue here for work is he's talking about God as creator. You know, sometimes old solutions don't work for new problems. And so what he's asking for here, he says, "It is time for thee, Lord, to create a new solution for me." It's the same thing that's talked about in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. It says, "Behold, I will do a what? I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert that you don't see now." I'll do something that you've never seen before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, a familiar passage, "There is no temptation taken you, which is such common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation will" what? "Make a new thing." It might be using some old truth, or truth that we already know. But if there's a unique situation, God's going to have a unique new way out of it. He's creator God. And we say, "God can't get me out of the fix that I'm in." We're living in Him. If He can speak all this in existence, can't He take care of your problem?
Right.
He says, "It's now time for these, Lord, to work." Why? Because these dingbats out here have made void thy law. They're not listening. They're not doing the right thing. Remember how Elijah was running away from Jezebel? And he says, "I'm all by myself. I'm running for my life. No one's helping me." God's fed him with ravens and water out of the brook and all this other stuff. Those are new ways, aren't they? Birds feeding you? says, there's 7,000 people here that still haven't bowed the knee. He says, you're not alone. You just need to find out what I'm going to do and wait for it. But it says, also make a way to escape that he may what? Be able to endure or to go through it. God's not going to take it away. God's not going to take away consequence for bad actions. He's going to give you forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to have to deal with the scars. God's, whatever you sow, you're going to what? Mm-hmm. Reap. A lot of people say, I get saved, and all this stuff is going away. Sure, you're justified in the sight of God. But as far as all the things you did, you're going to have to pay for those. Because if God just took away, he would not be just. He would not be just. So, does say to take it away, says that you'll be able to bear it, which means you're going through it. So his desperate cry is for his will, for God's way, and for God to work. Folks, that should be our cry daily. That should be our cry daily. In verses 127 through 128, we see his discerning claim. Now all this, you would say, he's given up. And how many times have we come to a point where it's not worth it? I'm just going to throw up my hands and just let things happen. What's the first word in 127?
Therefore.
He said, it doesn't matter. All these problems that have happened. Doesn't matter that I'm not seeing you work the way I think you ought to work. It's time for you to work. It's not going to change my mind. I'm still going to stay faithful to you. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. He can look in the past and see how God has delivered me. So in verse 127, he makes this claim. He says, I know what is truly valuable. Folks, in our life, there should be one thing that's valued above everything else, and that's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even though you may not like it sometimes, it may give you a different answer than you thought, it's still God's truth.
Right.
It's still God's truth. It's everything we need for life and godliness. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. The testimony of the word Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And when the psalmist sits back and he reflects on all this, he says this, more to be desired are they than gold. Not just a little bit of gold, but a lot of gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Not just the normal 14K stuff, the 24 karat stuff. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Then he goes on in verse 11, he says this, moreover by what? Them. What's the them? The law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, and respect for God. And he says, moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Show me a token for good, that the wicked will see it. He's saying this. He says, look, there's oppression all around me. I know how I'm standing with you. Okay? Show yourself strong. We pray for that. We pray that God will intervene and show himself strong. It's the same thing that we pray for. Maybe on a different level, but it's the exact same principle. So he says in verse 127, he says, I know what's truly valuable. His commandments. Every word. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And because of this, and because he's seen God work in the past, he says, I love thy commandments. Christ said this to his disciples. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hereby you know that you're, everyone will know that you're my disciples when you have what? Love for one another. So he says in 127, he says, I know what is truly valuable. The story was found in David Bread. It talks about the Gideons. It says the Gideons, a worldwide network of people who distribute Bibles, have been operating in the former Soviet Union for less than a year. It didn't take them long to find opportunities to pass out the scriptures in Russian. Wherever they went, they were welcomed by people who were hungry for the Word of God. In one town, they were given permission to pass out New Testaments at an elementary school. The police chief accompanied them. And so when they were driving past the assigned school, they wondered if they were being taken in for questioning. After driving 6 or 7 kilometers, they pulled up in front of a different school and were told by the pole to hand out the Bibles. They distributed copies to every student and staff member. Later, the leader of the group asked the chief of police, why did you switch schools? He calmly replied, because my 2 children attend school here. I wanted to make sure that they have Bibles. See, God's word is precious and valuable. And we need to esteem it. It shouldn't lay on your table in your house and collect dust. It should be used every day. We talked about having a time of devotion Sunday night. Someone once wrote, more precious than gold is God's word to me, much better than pearls from deep in the sea. For in the Lord's words I take great delight, and it is my joy each day and each night. See, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So he says, I know what is truly valuable in verse 127. Folks, we need to understand the value of this word. Right? In verse 128, he says, I know what is truly right. He says, therefore I esteem, or I approve, or I basically agree that this is my judgment. All thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Folks, you have to take the Bible in its entirety. You can't pick and choose. There's too many cults out there that want to pick and choose. There's too many false religions out there that want to pick and choose. It's the all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. All scripture. And he says this. He says, I esteem all thy precepts. It doesn't care what you think about them. It's God's word and it's truth and it's right. And so he says he has a discovery of truth. After Solomon went off the deep end and he wasted his life and did all sorts of things. He writes Ecclesiastes. And he enters Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verse 10. He says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which were written was upright, even what? Words of truth. He disobeyed them and found out they were true. He followed them and found out they were true. He was in trouble and found out they were true. He was in blessing and found out that they were true. Folks, everything about God's Word is true. And it's true all the time. In every situation. And so he has a discovery of truth. And then he says, and I hate every false way. He has a denial of lies. Folks, we can't be living a lie. We can't be making a lie. We can't be following lies. We can't do this. Everything about here, every man speak truth to his neighbor. In Psalm 119, verse 104, it says this, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore what? I hate every false way. Last week, we need to reject what God rejects and accept what God accepts and respects. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says, or 15 through 17 says, and let the peace of God what? Rule in your hearts. The which you are also called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you what? Richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That's the way we need to live our lives, folks. That's what God's Word says. Do we need deliverance tonight? Maybe you need deliverance from sin and need to be saved. You can do that tonight. Just understand what God did on the cross was for you. Do we need deliverance from the oppression that we have? Maybe we need to get right with God so He will show Himself strong. Maybe we need some more faith to stand and go a little bit longer. Maybe we're in a problem that we're trying to solve our own, and God's sitting there saying, I'm waiting for you to ask. Whatever the need is tonight, let's find deliverance from God's Word. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just thank You for the truth of Your Word. Father, I just ask this, help us, Lord, to follow You. Lord, I pray that You with this time of invitation, Father. And then, Father, You just help us, Lord, just be Your servants. Lord, help us to be in right standing with You tonight. Father, remove any sort of sin in our life, any sort of wicked way in our life, and help us to be faithful to You. Lord, we thank You, we love You. And Lord, I pray if someone here does not know You as Savior, Lord, that tonight they would realize that You died on the cross for their sins. You were buried and rose the third day. And You're offering forgiveness of sins and the free gift of heaven to all that would put their trust in You and ask in true repentance. And Lord, just help us tonight. We're a needy people. We ask these things in Jesus' name.